Amen. And go to Matthew chapter 12. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? I bless his name. Matthew and the 12th chapter. Lord God, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for sending thy son. Thank you, Lord, for that precious lamb. Lord God, that came, and for that powerful lion that's coming. Our Father, breathe on us tonight, Lord God, and help us in the preaching hour. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Matthew 12. We're grateful to be here tonight, aren't you? Amen. Thank the Lord for it. What a glorious time the Lord has given us. I appreciate so many things this week and in this meeting. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. Matthew 12. We've been dwelling this week somewhat on these scriptures where we see the Jewish rejection turning into the Gentile redemption. And in chapter 13, verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see, shall not perceive. But this people's heart is waxed gross, their eyes are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed. And so that's the blindness in part that's happened unto Israel. And one man said they can only see the Old Testament. They're blind in part. They can't see the New Testament. Amen. But when the Lord comes back, that veil will be lifted. And they'll see the old and the new. And there you see this. In chapter 13, verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house. He came into his own, John 1, and his own received him not. So he done something wonderful in John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And back up to 12:50, and you'll see that whosoever. And he looked at his own blood family, which was so symbolic of the Jews. And he said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? He said in verse 50, this thing's changing gears. Ooh-wee, I felt a happy bubble just then. Amen. This thing is changing gears, he said. And now we're going to go to whosoever. Yeah. In chapter 12, verse 50, for whosoever. Oh my, shall do the will of my Father. What is doing the will of my Father? It's bowing before the Lord Jesus. Believing on him, that's what it is. And you can see this prophesied or mentioned back in chapter 12, verse 18. Because, now we never got around to this last night, but in chapter 10, verse 5, he sent the 12. See chapter 10, verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Chapter 10, verse 5, go not into the way of the Gentiles. But then you get to chapter 12, verse 18. And he said, we're going to show some things to the Gentiles. Oh, y'all got to help me a little bit better than that. And in verse 21 of chapter 12, and here's you a happy bubble. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. Me and you are sitting here, fulfilled prophecy. A bunch of, I guess for the most part, a bunch of old Gentile dogs that are trusting in him. And what that little Syrophoenician woman say? She said, even the dogs. Woo! Even the dogs eat the crumbs. Amen. Out from underneath the table. Lord. Whew. He just went on and set us at the table like Mephibosheth. Amen. We was in the wrong family, but we got sat down at the table anyhow. Woo! And so do you see that now? So I want to show you four things tonight. And it actually may happen tonight. I want to show you four things. We pointed toward the Monday, and we're getting to them on Friday. It takes y'all a long time to have a revival. I tell you that right there. Amen. Thank the Lord. I will make a little announcement. I'm going to eat after church. That encouraged me just then. All right. Four things right here in this Jewish rejection and then that Gentile reception. And so, and I do need to mention this. Now, we're going to get these four in here. We're going to get them in there, I think. But I do need to mention this. And hey, Sister Trapman, I just now seen you. God bless you, sister. We love you. I do need to mention this about that parable. And do you remember when he sent his servants, them that were bidden to the wedding? And they and watch this. This will mess up you, Calvinist. And the elect resisted and were rejected. That messes up them Calvinists right there. The elect Jews that were invited to the wedding resisted, and they were rejected. And so his servants came back and said, "They that were bidden didn't want to come." And so the master of the servants said, "Well, let's do this. Woo! Go back a second time, and just find whosoever you will." And whether they're lame, whether they're blind, whether they're strangers, whether they're bastards, whether they're orphans, he said, just whoever you find, and ask them if they want to come and marry my son. And if they want to come, then they can. And that's how the gospel works. You need to quit complicating it. If you want to get saved, then that's how you get saved. Whew, glory. Somebody said you need to emphasize evangelism a little bit more. Found out something. Anybody wants to get saved, they're going to get saved. I ain't got to talk them into it. You young preachers will notice I never do no altar call manipulations of any sort. If you want to go to hell with your sin, that's where you're going. I ain't going to talk. If the Holy Ghost didn't talk you out of it, I ain't going to. And if you want to get saved, I ain't going to stop you. All of hell ain't going to stop you. Now, I appreciate some of my good brethren, and they probably just care about the souls of men. But I learned a long time ago, this saving business is God's business. Amen. We'll preach the message and present the plea to whatever degree of burden we're pressed in our heart to do so. But honey, people that want to repent are going to. And people that want to go on in their darkness, they're going to. And I found that out. This is the Lord's business. Well, here's the four things I want you to notice out of our beautiful text. Matthew chapter 12, here's four thoughts right out of the scriptures on this business of God letting them Gentiles in. Ain't you glad he let us in? And so I'm in chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered. So, amen. Them scribes were about the letter, and them Pharisees were about the law. Help me now. Them scribes come from script. You know, scripture, them scribes was about the letter, and them Pharisees were about the law. I know a lot of people going to hell because they're hung up on the letter. And they're smarter than the Bible. They think they are. And they're always correcting God. I got news for you. You're looking at one old-timey preacher that ain't up here to correct this Bible. I'm up here because this Bible's going to correct us. You mark that down, this outfit, and 90% of your preachers in the hour that you and I live go into the pulpits and start correcting the Bible. Make a little announcement. It's a general statement, probably really true. They're going to hell and everybody that follows them. Yes, sir. I get in trouble talking like that, but I have been over there in trouble before. Them scribes are all about the letter. You watch these jaybirds that come prancing in the church and going to correct your Bible. You just wave that old King James Bible around and tell them my granny believed it and maybe thump that feller over the head with it. Amen. Get him to hush. Amen. All you youngins. Hey! You youngins, listen for a second. I know you live on social media. You watch out because there's 10 million contemporary liberals on social media. And they're steady with a heavy fire criticizing old-fashioned preachers, old-fashioned churches, old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned preaching, and they all got their cute little version. They got their little ESV and all their other little sissy versions that the devil's put on the market. I know you youngins are on social media. You be real careful. Here's how to fix that. Go in there and tell all them King James Bible deniers they're a bunch of buzzards and a bunch of gut maggot wagon. Amen. Tell them stuff like that. They'll unfriend you and you won't have to see that no more. Maybe you can get on there and maybe just try to encourage a missionary while he's overseas. And maybe share scripture with a struggling saint and quit all that silly social media. All them goofy liberals on there trying to destroy the faith of my generation. Them scribes, they're all about the letter. Them Pharisees, all about the law. Make one little statement about a Pharisee. If you're more spiritual than Jesus, you're too spiritual. Did that fix it? Was that enough right there? The Pharisees, by the time that Christ had got there, by the time the Lord had arrived on the planet, they had turned Moses' 613 laws into something around 6,000 laws. They tell me today, if you go to Jerusalem, you can't push the elevator button on Saturday. It's working on the Sabbath. That's the truth. And I've never been to Jerusalem. I need to go to the Holy Land. Of course, as long as Brother Lawson's preaching, I know everything I need to know about the Holy. But I've put all my money and energy going to Albania and other mission fields. I've never been. But I want to go to Jerusalem one time, Brother Reggie, and I want to get in the elevator on Saturday, and I want to wait until a bunch of the little beanie heads are on there. And I'm gonna do like the, I'm just gonna swipe the whole thing and just punch every button on there. Look at it. I imagine they'll be passing out, falling backwards. Amen. I'm gonna push every button on there. Yes, I'm a little ornery, but I enjoy that. Amen. And when you're more spiritual than Jesus, you're just a little too spiritual. The scribes and Pharisees. And then in verse 39, he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And then here we head off into some Gentile stuff. He said, there'll no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Then he starts talking about some Gentiles who done really good back in the Old Testament. He said the men of Nineveh. And he bragged on them for repenting at the preaching of Jonah. Y'all ain't helping me. And then he talked about a black woman. She wasn't a Jew. The queen of the south. That's verse 42. I don't think she had a Dixie flag. It was a different South, okay? The Queen of the South. That's the Queen of Sheba. Come out of Ethiopia. Oh, he started. And he's trying to stir them Jews up to jealousy. You read Romans 11, Romans 9. He knows how to stir them up to jealousy. And he started talking about some Gentiles. Woo! Oh, honey, this thing was shifting over to the Gentiles. And he started bragging on some of them. So, four things I want to talk about for a little while before I go to eat. What are y'all feeding me? What are you feeding me tonight? Amen. It's Waffle House or Shoney's? Come on with it now. Amen. If y'all want to do some Christian clubbing, we'll go to both. We'll just go to both. We'll go to Shoney's and eat everything on the bar. And then we'll go to Waffle House and chase it down with a chili. Large chili. Large bowl. Don't be getting no cup of chili. Amen. Amen. Don't be getting no cup when they offer a bowl. What a good Lord. Now, here's four things right here. Let's talk about number one. He showed us the only sign that he'd leave for the church age. Let's talk about he gave that Gentiles a resurrection. The scripture said here and in another place, it said, there won't no sign be left for this generation except one, the sign of the prophet Jonah. As he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And I want to make a little heavenly announcement. Expect y'all to act halfway religious, especially on a Friday night. Amen. And I want to say this. There wasn't but one sign that he left the church age, and it was enough, and that was the sign of the empty tomb. I nearly run just saying, woo! I thought I took off, but my mind was ahead of my body, and so I just... Oh, Lord have mercy. Ain't but one thing me and you can see in the hour that we live. And if you did want to go to the other side of the world and go up in that garden tomb, he ain't there. The only sign he left us was something you can't even see. There ain't nothing to see in there. And that's what he wanted us to see. Oh, thank God for that Gentile resurrection. Boy, I'm feeling good about that. Woo! Wonder why he left. The only thing he left us to prove it was all real was an empty tomb. Peter and John run down there, and girls going to brag on you for a minute. They was a woman got there first. Come on, girls, you can say amen. If you're a Church of God tongue-speaking woman preacher, just say amen. Okay, leave it there, right there. We're pretty close to the hills. It could happen. Amen. Girls are going to brag on you just for a minute. There was a woman already there that morning. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, Lord. There was already a woman there. Amen. An old preacher friend of mine preached on why them women kept going to the tomb when Jesus was dead and buried. Nobody believed he was going to rise again. It don't take long to examine the Gospels. Nobody believed that he was fixing to resurrect. He had told them and told them. But until they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, until they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the ministry of reminding, and nobody believed that he was going to get up. But why did them women keep going? They were bringing their worship even though he was in there dead. His body was. Amen. Honey, when Jesus died, he saved me in all three worlds. The Trinity, all three of them, saved me in all three worlds. When Jesus died, his spirit went to heaven, his soul went to hell, and his body went to the grave. And he saved me in heaven and hell and in the world that we live. Woo! I ain't got time to dwell on that, but you sound like you believed it anyhow. And Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And then Acts 2, Psalm 16, and five other scriptures teach that his soul, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. You know, your soul and your spirit, two different things. Amen. You live in a body, you are a spirit, and you have a soul. Amen. Amen. And your soul's where you live. Your mind and your thoughts, and they're never right. Your thoughts and emotions, they're never right. Don't trust them. Don't follow them. Don't follow how you feel. And don't believe what you think. Because they're never accurate. Never. Every man's a liar. And you'll lie to yourself. If you follow your feelings and if you trust your thoughts, You're going to end up in a mess. What a man's got to do is lay before God and say, I know nothing by myself. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. My mind's aligned to me and my heart's deceiving me. Y'all ain't helping me. The soul's where you live. The spirit's where God lives. And if a sinner ain't saved, his spirit ain't living. Satan lives in him and he ain't alive. That's what salvation does for you. It resurrects your spirit. That spiritual circumcision Colossians mentions and Romans mentions is when God cuts your spirit loose from your soul. And you're still inside, but you've been cut loose from yourself. The reason you feel like you're trapped in there, because you are. Yeah. One of these days, that trumpet's going to sound. Amen. And so, see, that's why a soul went to hell. That was the bad part of you. His spirit went to heaven. That's the saved part of you. And his body went to the ground because that's where they'll lay yours. And in all three worlds, he's already been. Woo! I'm talking about a resurrection. I dare you to go look at Jonah the prophet. If you want to right now, it ain't going to hurt my feelings, but I may done be through it before you get there. Did you ever see the death, burial, and resurrection in the little gospel of Jonah? Did you ever see Law and Grace? Brother Caleb back there. And you young preachers, did you ever see Law and Grace in Jonah? First time God sent Jonah, he said, go and cry against. It's what the law does. First time it came to it, cries against us. But second time that he sent Jonah, he said, go preach unto. And that's what grace does. It don't cry against us. It preaches unto us. Well, what happened between chapter 1 and chapter 3. What happened, Brother Rustin, between the law crying against me and the gospel, second chance, preaching unto me? Well, between that, there was a death and a burial and a resurrection. And a man died and was buried 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and he visited the gates of hell. Read Jonah for yourself, the bars. Y'all ain't helping me. I'm about to, ooh-wee! I believe I could run these pews tonight. Amen. What about that? He said the only sign the church ages are getting is something you can't see. There's an empty tomb. He ain't in there. You ain't going to see him. Help me now. By the way, hurt your feelings a little further because I enjoyed doing that. I ain't had no supper. What do you expect? Hurt your feelings a little further. Everybody can. The Pentecostals, sorry. Got to mention this, though. Got to mention this until you're right here. Oh, Lord, they get that thing all messed up. They get that thing all messed up. I may come back and deal with that. I may come back and deal with that. There's a death and a burial and a resurrection. A death and a burial and a resurrection. All right, I will deal with it. I will deal with it, all right? I was going to see if you want me to deal with it or not. We're not charismatics. We didn't come in here to see something. They need their signs and their wonders. They got to have miracles and healings. Y'all ain't helping me. He said an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. The church age, we live by faith, not by. We didn't come in here tonight to see something. We came in here to hear something. Faith cometh by. And hearing by the word. And that's enough for us. He ain't got to show us a thing. He speaks. And the sound of his voice is so sweet. That'll be enough. Thank you.
Don't need a sign. I just need the scripture. That's why we don't act like charismatics. We're not an evil and adulterous generation, and we're walking by faith and not by sight. Need a little help right there. Need a little help right there. Yeah, bumped into a stump right there is what we've done. All right now. Amen. You be okay. Watch this. Watch this. What's the second one here? That Gentile resurrection. That was verse 40. The Son of Man, 3 days and three nights in the heart of verse 40. Now let's go to verse 41. And he talks about a Gentile revival. The men of Nineveh. He said, God tried to send y'all revival, you bunch of Jews, and you didn't want it. He said, I went to the Gentiles one time, and they wanted it. He said, the men of Nineveh shall arise in generation with this. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Did you know the first, watch this, the first revival that you ever seen the power of God break out and save a bunch of people outside of the Jewish economy was in that Assyrian capital. And Syria is still giving us a fit today. They bombed Yemen yesterday or today. I mean, they still over there rattling around carrying on. I hate to be them at the second coming. Yes, I hate to be them. And the first revival that we ever see happen to a bunch of Gentiles was over there with Jonah.
That's right.
What did it say? 600,000? Couldn't even tell between the children? I've heard 2 million. Not sure. That may be too many back then. But I don't know how many that population was. But that Assyrian empire was a world empire. And the first revival you ever seen over there, and the Lord brought it up here. Wonder why he brought up a Gentile revival. Because it's fixing to have one. In the book of Acts. And I want to tell you something about that first revival. It messes up all these formulas for revival. Is yins is listening? If I was in Georgia, I'd have said, are y'all listening? But we're in Tennessee. Is yins is listening? You be careful, and I'm not being ugly. I'm not throwing stones at my fellow preachers that are out there trying to do the work of God. But it's a futile effort trying to put a formula on revival. Really? You going to tell me how God works, are you? He's so original. What he does the next time, it won't look like nothing from the last time. He can paint a sunset every evening and it'll be the same and yet completely different every time. Every star has got a name. Every snowflake has a pattern. Every hair has a number for a lot of us. It's like there. Halfway there, ain't even going there. God's so original. The first revival had none of these little formulas to it that everybody talks about. Are you looking at me strange? I can tell you ain't read Jonah in a while. Have you been by there yet in your Bible reading this year? Maybe not. All right, let's talk about the first revival in the Bible that you ever see to a bunch of Gentiles. It don't fit no formulas. Nobody wanted it. The preacher preaching it got mad that they got right. Tommy, he did, he got mad. Jonah went up on a hill and got under a gourd. He like, phooey. Thought you was going to kill them. I can't believe you saved them. Makes me mad. The first revival, nobody prayed for it. Nobody suspected it. Nobody there, not the preacher or the people, deserved it. Nobody designed it. It wasn't promoted or publicized. It only had an 8-word sermon. I got an 8-word sermon. I lost that outline somewhere and I never had brought it to church. Yet 8 days and this city shall be overthrown. I'm not sure if that's the exact quote. You go back and see that thing. And it's just 8 words. And everybody in the world wants to tell me how revival works. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. If you know how it works, how come you ain't in the middle of one? Did you know the only fellas I ever hear describing revival never had one? And if they had one, how come they can't duplicate it? Tell you why, they don't know how it happened the first time. Heard old man teach me, old man of God. I mean, said old man of God taught me about that Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, Jesus showed his glory. And he said, here's what we do with our Mount of Transfiguration. We take everybody back as soon as we can. We sell tickets and make t-shirts. We write books. We do seminars. That's what he told me 15 years ago. He told me that 15 years ago. Y'all hear me? I'm talking about something a man told me 15 years ago. I've been preaching it 15 years, not 2 years. I've been preaching it 15 years. He said, we take everybody, we fill up buses and we take everybody back to the mount. He said, only two problems. Jesus ain't there. He was only there one time. And he told you, when you come down the mountain, don't tell nobody what you seen. And he said, you try and tell it, we try to take everybody back to our Mount of Transfiguration and explain to them what happened. He said, the only problem was, you was there and you don't even know what happened. There are men that build entire ministries in this hour where it's easy to make merchandise out of God's people because they love entertainment. Y'all ain't helping me. No, this ain't popular, but this preacher's trying to help you. Because you can get real discouraged when it don't work out like you told everybody it's going to. Okay? You don't know what happened when you was on that mount. You have no idea how that glory busted out of Jesus. And most everybody there passed out. And when they awoke in the middle of his glory, he was having a heavenly conversation, not even with y'all. And the only fellow that tried to talk on that mountain, God shut him up. A bright cloud overshadowed him. Hush, Peter, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Just be glad you know somebody who's been on a mountain. Just be glad you've been under the shadow of somebody that's been overshadowed. And the fellas I hear talking about formulas for revival, that's funny. It's all they do is sell their formulas. You ain't going to make the Mount of Transfiguration happen. You didn't make it happen the first time. You ain't going to make it happen the second time. Are y'all with me? Let you be clear about something. I'm not being ugly to any of my brethren out there doing the work of God. Y'all understand that right now? I'm not being ugly to any of my brethren trying to serve the Lord. But I'm trying to save some young preachers from disappointment and delusion. From frustration and from failure. Okay? And if we're not careful, we act like charismatics. And if we don't have another experience and another experience, we think God ain't real. Or we think he don't like us no more. I read my Bible and only found one Matthew 17. There's other mountains, but he's doing other things. He died on another hill. He ascended from another mountain.
Amen.
I only found one Pentecost. I didn't see where you needed another. There's only one Calvary. I don't see where you ever need another visit there. Y'all understand? The first revival for a bunch of Gentiles in the Bible, nobody prayed for it. Nobody deserved it. Nobody wanted it. Nobody knew what it was. Boy, y'all are looking at me is what you're doing. 2 Chronicles 7. Oh, it don't bother me to be looked at. I got half a baby aspirin for this outfit here in a minute, and I promise you, son. 2 Chronicles 7. And all the men love to do that. Well, how come it ain't ever worked? If my people, which are called by my name, come and sit down and heal their land, forgive their sin. You understand he is talking to King Solomon about how Israel could be restored? You be careful making that a church age principle. Well, they got quiet on me, Reggie, right there. They got real quiet right there. You be careful about making that a church age principle. We don't have a land. Church age Christians, we don't have a country. Oh, we got a city. We just ain't seen it yet. We got a country. We just ain't never been there yet. And it don't need healing. It is our healing. You be careful about taking something spoken directly to the Jewish king about how Israel could be healed and trying to make that fit in a Gentile age church revival. Y'all claim America if you want to. She's just another nation that God's used in his providential program. I believe America's special. I really do. I believe she fits a special place and a special plan through the millennia of civilizations. I really do. But she's just another nation that God used to get us to the end of this thing. We are not the kingdom of heaven. Mormons believe that. For Utah anyway. Roman Catholics believe that we're in the millennial reign and the kingdom of heaven's on earth and we're ruling and reigning right now on thrones. But news flash from the Bible, I ain't a Mormon or a Roman Catholic. I'm a Baptist and a Christian. Yeah. Some of them choking on the meat tonight. Some of them choking on the steak. The applesauce, I left it out there. They're just meat, chunks of meat. People's gagging all over this place, Brother Tommy. Gentile revival. Let me say something to our sweet Christian hearts. He'll give us everything we ever need. If he wanted to give us a 6,000 explosion thing for a few weeks, he'd do it. If he wanted to just get six of us in a room and change one man's life, he'd give us everything we need. He ain't going to shortchange nobody. Somebody said we had revival because we prayed. You're going to get to heaven and meet 10 million folk that prayed their entire life and never saw nothing that you'd call a move of God. Well, we had revival because the preachers got in unity. Honey, these people that's in unity all across this country, and they'll never see what you'd call a move of God. Amen. No, quit acting like you did something to bring it on. Y'all ain't helping me. You're just looking at me. Oh, I'm in the Bible. I've done give you Jonah and Matthew 17. You be careful in praying for revival. You don't tell God all these sensational things you want to see happen, and then you tell God how you want it to happen and when you want it to happen. You be down there speaking like a foolish man. I got several friends. Oh, we're being blunt tonight, Pastor Sharpay.
There's an E on the end of that thing. It's a French thing, sharpay. There is an E on the end of your sharp. There's not? Well, it is in my phone when I spelled it. There ain't no E. It'd be so much more fun to be a sharpay than just a sharp. I mean, a pencil can be sharp, my word, you know, just, all right, I thought he was French. Got to start all over with my word study. God gave us revival in the early 90s. My little church in Florida. I was 21, single, still finishing Bible college. And young preachers, I finished. God don't use quitters. There are two kind of men God will not use. He won't use a lazy man, and he won't use a whiny baby. You can forget that. Your mom and your grandma may be telling you you're the best thing since Wheaties cereal. But they're the ones that raised you to whine. Little whiny little outfit all over social media, ventilating all the time. You sorry little thing, you. Y'all need to start feeding me before church. I said I took that church because the men of God in my life told me to take that church, and I finished Bible college. I said God don't use quitters. And he don't use whiners with all their excuses. We're having Bible college just for like 2 minutes here. Bible college for all the young men. He don't use lazy men and he don't use quitters. God poured a revival out upon us. They was two old men in that church laid on the altar. They'd run a preacher out of there. They'd run a preacher out in the 60s. Physically, they stormed the parsonage. Bunch of devil deacons. Physically shoved the pastor's wife and physically drugged the preacher out of the parsonage and threw him in the yard in the late 60s, 67. And the two old men in there weeping, confessing the sins of their forefathers. They didn't do it, but their forefathers done it. And when I got there, they said that God's wrote Ichabod on us for 35 years. And we've been begging him to come back. I don't know how to say this to you, but the Lord came back. I was 21, single. I had so much hair, I pulled it straight up and straight back. Oh, Lord. I mean, you could have built a small subdivision in there if you needed one. And it would have housed them too, buddy. It was... The winds could come, the rain could blow. It wasn't going nowhere. I sprayed her down, boys. Amen, right there. I'd get tired and just go up there and sit, you know, until I got ready to go again. But anyway. God let me preach. 2 months, we had 26 people to baptize. 26 people got saved in 2 months. I had to borrow I had to borrow a truck to go out there, little Ford Ranger. I don't know how God ever showed up and I was driving a Ford. I don't know. I mean, that boat, that's like the gates to the city. Come on now. That's exactly right. Amen. Toyotas is fern. Dodge is weird. Fords don't run. And Chevy. If you say it right, there's the word heavens in there. Heavenly, something like that. If you say it right, it's in there. GMC is a close cousin. That's fine, too. That just bring them on in. Bring them on in. Amen. Toyota's Asian. Got them Far East demons on them. You don't want to be messing with none of that. Amen. Well, they get better gas. God made gas to burn. Just burn it up. Burn it up. Tree hugger. Bark, tree bark eating thing, you. Amen. Somebody said, how much gas does that thing drink? All the gas I put in it just drinks. Amen. Feel like a man when I get over there where I'm going. You ain't got to charge that thing. Lord of mercy. Somebody said, well, how do you afford that? Listen, I couldn't afford gas if it was 10 cents a gallon. So it don't matter what it is. God's paying the bill. Y'all can't afford nothing you do. Quit trying. Do what you're supposed to, do what you need to do, and God will pay for it. Quit everything that ain't under them too, and you'll be able to live with your money right there. Had to borrow a truck to go out there, and borrowed it from a Yankee. Man, that's more grace in my story than I realized. I borrowed a Ford from a Yankee. Yeah, you knew God was helping me. Had to borrow a $20 bill from another friend to put gas in somebody else's truck. I was working two jobs, paying my school bill. And I had to borrow a suit. I didn't have a nice suit. And I didn't have to borrow a Bible. I didn't have to borrow a message. And that little old swamp church below Jacksonville, Florida, God started saving them. First Sunday I preached there, Sunday morning, and I preached on John out of the Gospel of John at Calvary. I preached on what the common folk saw at Calvary. Five adults. And I'm talking about a church, ain't nobody been saved in a long time. Five adults. I had no idea what was going on. You said, did you write a book? Did you have a seminar? Did you start set? No, I didn't know what was happening. God saved five adults. And in 2 months, it was 26. And they said, you got to be our pastor. And I said, I'm going to Russia. I'm going to collude. I was one of the original collusioners. If I could figure out what collusion with Russia is, I'd do it tomorrow. Just because if the liberals are against it, I'm for it. Let's collude. With Russia. I'm for it. I have no idea what it is, and they don't either. But I'm all for it. Let's collude. If that crowd's against it, I'm for it. Let's collude with Russia. I said, nope, the Iron Curtain just fell. 89, 90. I said, I'm going to Russia. And they kept saying, come back next Sunday. And God kept saving sinners. I called my pastor and his evangelist. I called three men of God. I said, the Lord wants me to go to Russia, but this little church keeps telling me to come. They said, son, you ain't got enough sense to know what God wants. Get over to that church. I'm a little nervous about all these people always telling you what God said and what God thinks. What that usually means is you done made up your mind what you're going to do and you dressing it up. Well, I prayed about it and I got peace. Yeah, you do. You feel good about what you decided you was going to do.
That's right.
Well, I prayed about it and I got peace. You need a piece of Waffle House chili is what you need. A good slice of it. You can slice Waffle House chili. Huh? I'm ringing somebody's doorbell. I wish you'd answer it so I can move on. Well, the Lord's done showed me. Yeah, we've heard you say that for so long. The will of God's always scary. The will of God is always undesirable. The will of God is never predictable. It's not something you already thought of. It never is. The will of God is so original, you couldn't have thunk of it ahead of time. And it's so wise, you ain't got it in you to come up with something half that wise. Y'all hear me? The will of God. Hey, y'all, just walk with him and you'll end up in the right place. And then you'll tell us about the will of God
after you've done it. So the man of God in my life said, son, are you still talking? Be quiet. You ain't got enough sense to know anything. Get over there and pastor that little church. You know what I said, Brother Tommy? Yes, sir. Some of y'all ain't never said that to none of the authorities in your life. That's why you're in the mess in. I said, yes, sir. And I went over there and God put me in a church. Kept me for nearly a decade. I was speaking to a young lady at the college. She's a good woman. My pastor said, she ain't for you. Pick up with her. She could play the piano and she could smile. Two things I knew. And her mama could cook. Ooh wee, her mama could cook. I liked her and I loved her mama. Come on now. Come on now. Come on with it. Come on with it. Don't be lying about it. Woo. I picked the phone up within 10 minutes. I was in another state during the summer. I said, hey, I'm breaking up with you. She said, my pastor told me. Tell your mama, I'm going to miss that cooking real bad. You say, well, what did she do? It's none of my business. That's her business. Another one come my first year at the church. This little brunette come up. She had eyelashes from here to Texas. She flaunted around the front of the church for about 3 months at the time. And it worked. I said, man, she pretty. I said, I prayed about it and the Lord gave me peace. I didn't need nobody to tell me. Holy Ghost said, quit being stupid, Dean. I said, okay. It lasted 10 days. Talking to her 10 days. Holy Ghost said, Dean, let me slap you now or later. I like, neither. Neither. Like you let that little prancing heifer get on back to the stall where she came from. I said, all right. Waited on God. Amen. He gave me that bride of Christ. He gave me that church. And then he brought a little gal in there and said, and he done told me when I sent that little prancing heifer to the barn, he done told me. He said, Boaz, that's what he told me. He called me, he said, Boaz, if you'll just stay in your field, I'm going to put Ruth in the corner. He said, I'm going to put Ruth in the corner here in a minute. And I just stayed in my little field. And she come in one Sunday morning. Amen. Her sister got married a boy in our church. She come in and went to the corner. And the Holy Ghost elbowed my rib cage from the inside. Wha bam! He said, hey boy, right over there. I said, whoa. And then I pranced for, oh Lord, you should have seen me preach. My people was like, he's really weird. I was preaching. The Word of God says. My folks was like, some of y'all better start letting God run your life. And you know, she's one that got saved too. She got saved. She wasn't raised in church. The Lord told me she's the one.
She came four Sundays. On the fifth Sunday, she came back Sunday night. And she hit the altar and got saved. She shouted 20 minutes. Never been in church hardly. Yeah, never heard it. Didn't learn that. She shouted 20 minutes. And I shouted 2 hours. That's a true story. My preachers got to shouting. My men got to shouting. When God would move in our church, my old men would get the flag and walk around the church and shout. And my young men, there wasn't room enough. They'd go out in the parking lot, 30 of them shout. One night they run six blocks. They'd run to downtown. I had some athletes. I really did. Had some boys that broke every basketball scoring record. If Jamie Burke was here, he could tell you he knew them boys. And three brothers, they won the state competition and broke every scoring record. Every brother would come the next year and break the other one's record in the entire state of Florida. And you got Miami and Tallahassee and Pensacola. Come on, some big Tampa. And them white boys broke all them records. And they's in my church with their friends. They're all over there getting saved. And them boys would run. My old men would march in the church and shout, and them boys would bust the side door. And they said one night they'd just run all the way down six blocks. I heard about it, and I ran three. I got four fellas and ran three blocks through town shouting. They used to call the police on us. Old Rudy would pull up. We didn't have, you know, one car in town, but he'd, woo. And then Grandma sitting in there, Sister Waters, and she'd say, Rudy. He'd be like, I got a phone call disturbing the peace. I'd be like, Rudy, I know it. These people are crazy. I'll call them.
That's a true story.
I had one old evangelist in there one time. Lester Roloff was his hero. And this fella, he fasted and drank carrot juice. Lester Roloff was his hero. Had a children's home. And he had done everything Brother Roloff had done except went to jail for Jesus. And he'd heard about he wanted to go to jail so bad. That was the one feather in his cap. And he was preaching a revival for me. I mean, he didn't have that feather. And here come Rudy, pulled up to the side, lights going. This is a true story. And my boys didn't quit running. They was, I was talking to Rudy, and they're going by us at 50 mile an hour. Wah! And he's like, well, we got a phone call disturbing the peace. I said, and here come that preacher. What's going on out here? He chest shoved that pole. What are you doing? He was trying his best to get arrested. Oh, he wanted to be Lester Roloff. It was great to see. I was trying to signal to Rudy, just put him in cuffs. That bitch, just put him in cuffs. That'll make him happy. Just put him in cuffs. Rudy didn't understand. He didn't get what I said. Just put him in cuffs. You know, he'll put it in his newsletter, and then he can go on to heaven happy. Just. Rudy's like, y'all just calm down. And he's like, we don't calm down. They got a First Amendment and all. He was doing his best to get arrested. Oh, Lord. I nearly arrested him by the end of the week myself. We had revival. One year, I think it was 1993. I kept a calendar. And that first Sunday, God saved somebody. And I wrote it down, saved two or three people. And then the second Sunday, and I'm talking about people walking the aisles, the power of God. And do you know, like that old Louis L'Amour calendar, my mama had six of us kids. She gave us all a calendar with everybody's birthdays and anniversaries on it. And it was a Western calendar for me that year. And by the time the year came to an end, there were only two Sundays, maybe one. I can't remember. There was only one or two Sundays that there were not names written down. And I have no idea how that worked. And it ain't take nobody back and trying to prove something. I just thanked God for what he did. And that power in that place in those years sent me across America and across the world. I come out of those years with such a propelling behind me. That the momentum ain't slowed yet. We had several preachers come out of there, but seven men ordained into full-time ministry. Oh, my. A Gentile revival. Let me tell you something. Don't play God. Don't demand God. Don't think that you're smart as God. And trust Him. He'll give every church what it needs. He'll give every Christian what it needs. He'll give every community what they need. He'll give every preacher what he wants to give him. And don't you judge none of them. If big things are happening, look at it and thank God for it. If little bitty things is the only thing happening, look at that little bitty thing and thank God that he cared enough to do a little bitty thing. How about Philip that left that great city with great revival and he went out in the desert to one black man? That brings me to my third point. Y'all doing all right? Somebody's preaching a long time tonight. I don't know that guy. Watch this. Can I bring one more in? Can I bring one more in? Because that Ethiopian eunuch, he's connected to this old gal. Verse 42. I'll talk about this and I'll be done. Is that a good deal? Watch this. We've right in these verses. Verse 40, a Gentile resurrection. Verse 41, a Gentile revival. Verse 42, a Gentile romance. The Queen of the South. All right, we got some Bible readers in here, so let's go fast on this. This was the Queen of Sheba that came to see Solomon. Let me float this by you. You're here on Friday night. You love the Bible. Let me float this by you. Is it possible, Pastor Sharp, with no E, which is very boring, is it possible, Pastor, that the Song of Solomon was written about a love story that happened with him and a queen? Oh, yeah. Very well could be. Song of Solomon, the fourth verse, I am black but comely. There are those who believe that Solomon and the Queen of Sheba fell in love. The Ark of the Covenant not been seen since that time. I need a little help right here. You know, the kingdom fell apart after that, and Nebuchadnezzar, the invading enemies, came. And where was the Ark? There are speculations, never been proven, that he smuggled the Ark out with the Queen of Sheba with her great wealthy camel train. When she headed back down to Ethiopia, he smuggled it out with her. Now you go study these things for yourself. There are people that believe it. It's a little hard to prove. But you also cannot disprove it. This is the way it could have happened. Verse 4, she said, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Israel. Honey, over there. And why'd the Lord bring her up? He said, the Queen of the South. You reckon she come up there and met the King of the North? I'm liking it myself. A lot of speculation right there. But I wonder that old Ethiopian eunuch, how he ever heard of such a story, of such a glory. Amen. I'll tell you one thing she said that we do know. 1 Kings 10, 2 Chronicles 9, you can read these things. She said, the half has never been told. And she said, notice something about all your servants. They're happy.
I know another king, all his servants are happy. For you young preachers, there's an 8-point outline over there in Kings 9. She said, I heard about these things, and she came to prove him with many hard questions. But when she had seen, and there's 8 things she saw. See, when I saw these things, I knew there'd never been a more glorious king or a more glorious kingdom. She said, when I seen your wisdom, when I seen your house, when I seen them sitting at your table, when I seen your cupbearers, when I seen their apparel.
That's right.
There's 8 things she saw. 8. And she said, I'm a believer. And she went back down that dark continent with all its devils. How you reckon that Ethiopian eunuch knew where to go to find God? Amen. You reckon there's a heritage done got down in there some way or another? You watch National Geographic and look it up, Bunny. They believe they know right where the ark is. There's some black monks been guarding it for centuries. They either are guarding it or they're not. Something's in there. I'm not sure. I'm 50-50, 40-60, depending on if I'm at the beginning of my chili bowl or at the end of it, you know. A lot of times I switch positions before the bowl's empty. But I know one thing. Honey, he brought up a queen of the South. Yeah! Caleb, y'all go chew on that and bring me back something on it. I believe whatever y'all tell me to believe about it. That's how I do on a lot of things. Oh, my. There's a Gentile. I know this. Whether or not that was a love story of romance or a love story of respect, I know one thing. There's a Gentile romance going on. We, like her, were a long ways from the right family. But he brought us to where he was. We heard and we came. And we said the half ain't been told. And I tell you, tonight we believe we've met the greatest king and the greatest kingdom. And I want y'all to know that the half has not been told. Woo, glory. I sure am glad that he loved a bunch of old Gentiles. The 4th point, for the sake of your study, some of you have been here all week, is there's a Gentile revelation. He then goes into chapter 13 and begins to speak. He said, all right, we're going to do something else now. So we're going to, and 7 parables begins to reveal how this new kingdom works. Is that pretty good? Is that all right? A Gentile revelation. And even in the middle of 13, he said, I'm blinding the minds of them, because they wouldn't believe. He said, but these things, many men have desired to see it. I'm going to let y'all see it. Woo! Thank God for that resurrection. Thank God for that revival. Thank God for that romance. And thank God for the revelation of truth tonight. I appreciate your kindness and your patience with me tonight. My, isn't he good? Amen. I don't know what to tell you to do in this altar call. Some of you may have been like my Jennifer. She came for 4 Sundays. And on the 5th Sunday, came back that night. This is the 5th night, isn't it? Maybe you need to come be saved. And then some of you need to come and quit begging God for revival. And just ask him for whatever you need. And he might sneak up and give you a mount of transfiguration. He might say, I'm glad you quit telling me what to do. Because I got something better than mine than your formula. Oh, my. Oh, my. Let's stand our head. Stand and bow our heads.
who'll come pray with me tonight.